A game is terrible. Worst game ever. Whoa, stupid Team Fortress.
He'll kill you. He's got like 700 hours in it or something.
Are you serious?
Oh god, he loves that game.
Wow.
That's playing an hour a night for about 2 years. Welcome to episode 21 of One More Podcastle, a retro gaming podcast that can now legally drink alcohol in the United States of America. My name is Eric Bailey, aka Rick Thursday, and I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
I am Eric Hunter, I am the audio engineer, and I wish that I had a bell.
My name's Jason Lamb, I'm the resident Canadian, and it's really cold up here.
Hunter. A bell? What kind of bell do you want? That's a really weird thing to want, man.
Well, it's just, you know, just a regular bell, you know? Just a regular bell.
Okay.
Nothing crazy. That way, you know, if somebody says something funny, I can ring the bell.
Nice. I like it. Okay, cool. Jason, how cold is it up there?
It's pretty cold. We currently have a snow squall watch in effect. A snow squall watch.
What's that even mean?
Just call it a snow squatch. Just call it a snow squatch.
It means wind is going to gust up to 70 kilometers an hour, whatever that is in miles. And it's we're going to get about 5 centimeters of snow, whatever that is in inches.
How many degrees outside is it in Celsius?
It's minus 11 degrees Celsius.
Whatever that is in Fahrenheit.
I know that one. Hold on.
That's minus 12.2.
Nice.
Yeah. That's cold, Jason. That's cold.
That's pretty darn cold.
That's pretty cold. It's been colder, but it's pretty cold.
Do you guys bundle up when it gets that cold? Or is it just like, oh, this is like, you know, golfing weather?
I throw a coat on.
That's good.
You know, maybe a scarf.
Okay. That's pretty reasonable. Do you wear a hat?
No, I don't.
Do you have a hood on your coat?
No, I don't. It's a peacoat.
You leave your head exposed?
I do. It's a bad decision, but...
Wow.
I wear gloves.
You are making me shiver and chill over here. Or should I say shiver and chill? I've been doing that a lot lately.
Shiver and shank?
Yes. Shivering and shanking people. Been doing a ton of that.
That's what the weather does to you. Just makes me want to shank somebody.
You chill them, I'll kill them. That's my Shiver and Shank Services motto right there.
And the murderer is back.
Oh, and we have an episode title.
The murderer is back. Hey, that's a good one.
Ayo, ding. Oh, I like that new tradition already. I'm going to get dinged a lot tonight, aren't I, right? Yeah, that's right.
I think you'll be okay.
Ding me. No, don't. You guys been playing any old video games while you've been bundled up inside?
Well, it's not too cold over here, but I've been playing video games.
Like what?
So I gave up on Link. I gave up on Zelda. I started playing Oracle of Seasons.
Ah, yes.
I just got burnt out. I couldn't do it anymore. I'm all Zelda out. So instead, I decided to play the Atmos best rail shooter ever invented.
And what is that?
That is the Typing of the Dead.
The Typing of the Dead.
Nice.
It's easily the best rail shooter I've ever played.
Easily, huh? Easily.
And it's educational.
So you're killing people with Snapdragon and Daffodil?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And okay, so it's House of the Dead too, but you know, you got a keyboard, blah blah blah, Dreamcast. And it's creative to the point where like the words, so okay, let me start over.
Words are pretty creative.
Words are very creative and they're hard. So there's points in the game where like when you're going through a level, it actually stops and says, okay, now you have a mission. You have to kill 10 zombies in 30 seconds. Where it's just like, okay, well, you got to type words because you're on a keyboard. But, like, all the words, like, mean something. Like they're grouped. It's a category. So like the first time you do it, it could be elements of the periodic table, or it could be types of flowers, or you know, different kinds of cars and stuff. So it's mm-hmm. like, it's kind of neat how it's like categorized. And then the bosses are also pretty interesting. Can't remember. Muddy, I think, which is chapter 2. No, it's the third chapter. The one with the three snakes or whatever they are.
Yeah, the tower or the, well, what's it called? What are they called? I don't remember the name of it in the game.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But anyway, so this one, it's just not, you're not just like typing words. It actually asks you a question. And then of the three heads of the three snakes, there's choices. So you have to type the word that goes, the answer to the question. So it'll be like, you know, like which one of these can he eat? And it'll be like a rock, a sandwich, and, you know, a car. And so you're like, oh, sandwich. And then you type in sandwich, and then, you know, the boss loses a little health. Then the boss, which I think is chapter 5, the chainsaw dude, when you're in the arena.
Yep, the Colosseum.
The Colosseum. That actually, you're typing out a story, and it's the silliest story I've ever read. Like, it's like, you know, well, I was at the office the other day, and Midge came up and talked to me, and she had a shoe on her head, and I asked her about the shoe. Like, it's really ridiculous, but it's a lot of fun. Your characters have little keyboards that's connected to them. You got a little Dreamcast console pack on their backs, and it's a great game.
I was going to call you a dork, but that actually sounds like something I would really enjoy. I'm going to be real honest. I would have a blast.
It's pretty cool. You should get a Dreamcast and the keyboard just for that game.
All right, I'm ready. Die, zombies!
it's like that. Yeah.
Yep.
How about you, Jason?
I finished up that retro-style game, Serious Sam 3.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
It was very retro.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah.
It was.
So retro.
So retro.
So retro.
So retro. You should pick it up if you like dying a lot.
I don't. Yes. Not personally, no.
Oh, okay. Then it's not for you.
Oh, come on, Hunter. That's the hallmark of a retro game is dying a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm intrigued. Yeah. Continue.
So I did that. That was good. And then I took cues from our discussion about movies based on video games. And I decided to watch the latest Resident Evil movie.
Oh, what'd you think?
Let me tell you.
I haven't seen the newest one.
Oh, God, don't.
Okay. Okay.
It's now taken... It's probably taken the spot as the worst video game film I've ever seen.
That bad?
Yeah. Wow.
That
it
bad?
Was awful.
Huh. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I had high hopes for it. These kind of franchises do tend to slide downhill as they go. But man, the worst?
It's easily the worst I've seen.
Okay.
Well, haven't they turned those movies out like every 2 years?
Yeah. And they're making another one.
That's nothing good comes out every 2 years. I mean,
unless you're like planning ahead of time, like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Okay, we're gonna film them all, put them all out. There we go.
Like a perfect example for me is the Saw movies. They released a Saw movie every year, and I saw every single Saw movie at midnight, Friday night at midnight, opening night. And like, there's a few of them that are really good, but they're all about half ridiculous, and none of them make any sense. But I went and saw them because I was dedicated. I don't think anybody's dedicated to these Resident Evil movies.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I actually enjoyed the previous Resident Evil films. Like, they're crap, but they're like B-movie entertaining crap.
That's where I'm at with them, yeah.
Yeah, this one didn't even achieve that.
Not even that. Wow, okay.
It was just...
Let's just keep turning them out because people are going to watch it.
They keep making money.
As long as it keeps making money, they'll keep making them. That's how Hollywood works.
Yeah, so don't see that. Other than that, that was pretty much my gaming-related stuff for the week.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
so nothing. You've done nothing.
I've done nothing.
I've been busy with birthday stuff, and I'm not going to count the Wii as being retro yet, even though I got a bunch of new Wii games and I'm playing them. But one retro event I want to mention is Do either of you know who Andrew Garticus is?
Andrew Garticus.
It's G-A-R-D-I-K-I-S. Okay, he is the world's best Super Mario Brothers player. He can beat the original Super Mario Brothers in less than 5 minutes.
Wow.
He has the world record on it. He's on the Speed Demos archive. Shigeru Miyamoto actually had him play at Nintendo World in front of a live audience once. Like, he's a really, like, precise player. It's hard to describe how skilled he is at Super Mario Brothers. Well, he mailed me an autographed Super Mario Brothers cartridge.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, it's definitely might now be the crown jewel of my retro swag shelf.
Nice.
Yeah, so Andrew Garticus, I don't know if you bother listening to the One More Castle podcast, but that is your shout out, my man, because I appreciate it. Thanks for signing a cartridge and sending it to me, because I think it's cool.
I just Googled him. Number one result. Legendary game perfected. Andrew Garticus at Super Mario Bros. NES record. By Eric Bailey.
Oh, it sounds like someone knows how to take advantage of the Google search algorithms in the articles he writes. Yeah, the Googles.
How you gotta feel, though, if you're Miyamoto, watching this guy beat your game in 5 minutes that you've poured your heart and soul into, you know,
it's gotta be somewhat crushing.
30 years ago, you know? Because, like, if it was me and I was him, I'd beat the game in five minutes, throw the controller down and be like, your game's crap.
Well, it's funny you mention it. I don't mean to throw Andrew under the bus by any means, but I think he'd be okay with me saying this. At the event, he was not able to play to his usual high standard. Like, I don't know if nerves got to him, but he definitely, like, died and messed up and had to kind of recover, and definitely not a world record attempt by any means.
I would have to say being there with the creator would be a little
right.
Nerve-wracking.
I can't imagine being in the right frame of mind or being able to keep a steady hand. So
just be like, I'll email you the video. Don't worry. I'll email you the video.
You don't have to be there, man. Don't worry about it. So that's my retro extent for the week.
Hey, you very good. See you next time.
However, I'm happy to report we got another listener email discussion question.
Sweet. Look at us go.
And we got like three or four in the backlog, so this is going to be pretty sweet for a few more weeks at least. This is from Craig at splitscreen.net, and that's split-screen.net. There's a dash in there. You can follow him on Twitter at CP Wilson, but his very nice email goes like this. Hello. Recently, I was faced with a 10-hour long-haul flight across the Atlantic. I am not a fan of flying. What I am is a fan of One More Castle. So rather than taking some sleeping pills and a comfy pillow, I instead slipped the first 10 episodes of your finely cut podcast past airport security and onto the plane. Maybe it was the poor air quality or perhaps the seat cutting off blood to my extremities, but I was pretty delirious by the end of episode 9. When the stewardess carried me off the plane, I'm told I was mumbling Retro Showdown and something about saving the president. I blame this now on your nicely structured, beautifully recorded podcast hosted by two lovable chaps and Hunter.
What?
So
it's
good.
All right. It's jealousy coming through.
And then he says, question. What, in your opinion, is the best point-and-click adventure game? Personally, Westwood's Blade Runner is king. It nailed the tone of the book, and its detective mechanics make L.A. Noir look like Kindergarten Cop in comparison. See you in the clouds, Craig. Craig, thanks for writing, but that's a tough question. What do you guys think?
Maniac Mansion.
Dang it! I was going to say that.
Easily the best point-and-click game ever invented.
It clearly must be correct, because that's literally what I wanted to say. So.
Yeah, it's a real hard question. Maniac Mansion, man. Yeah. Even the remake deluxe version was amazing.
Oh.
Which is a PC game, Jason.
Ooh, PC.
Settle down there.
That's all I got to say. Maniac Mansion.
All right, Jason, do you have a dissenting opinion?
I didn't choose I didn't choose Maniac Mansion.
Okay, what'd you choose?
I chose, I've got a nostalgic pick, and I've got my current favorite. For my nostalgic pick, I played a lot of Peter Pan, A Story Painting Adventure as a kid.
What the hell is that?
It came out in 1993 on the DOS platform. It's developed by NovoTrade and published by Electronic Arts. It's an educational game where the player, you go through a kind of an interactive movie solving like these theme puzzles, and you have these five magical paintbrushes.
Of course.
Peter Pan, A Story Painting Adventure.
I will say, I did, just for fun, I want to give an honorable mention to Myst.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a game that, as a young teenager, heavily influenced my PC gaming taste. My grandmother actually had it, which is odd enough, so I borrowed it. And that's quite an immersive experience if you've never played an early point and click. I mean, with the static screens and how it progresses and the really mysterious circumstances, and just the whole mood of the game is wonderful. But Maniac Mansion.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Yep. I mean, Day of the Tentacle wasn't too bad, but it's no Maniac
Mansion.
That's
true. I mean, any game where you can explode a hamster in the microwave, that's a special game you've got there.
That's right. Or you could be a ghost while running around after you've died.
Yep.
It's going to be bad. I haven't played either of those games.
That's pretty bad.
Yep.
Yep, that's awful. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm a horrible human being.
You should...
Wait, you've never played Myst?
I played Myst when it was originally released, not all the way through, but I remember borrowing it from the library. It was my library rented PC games, which is pretty sweet.
Only in Canada.
That actually is pretty sweet. You can
pick up that.
Just copy them to your hard drive and take the disc back.
That was great.
Well, Craig, sorry that your question wasn't hard after all, because Maniac Mansion is clearly the One More Podcast little point and click of choice.
Unless it's Peter Pan, A Story Painting Adventure.
Unless we let Jason have a vote. Let's take a music break. That was The Dark Knight Chiptunes by OneRom. Some Batman-inspired chiptune quality for your listening pleasure. Speaking of pleasure, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
This is the part of the show where each of us has chosen a retro game, has 1 minute to introduce it, then we argue about which one is the best. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite on the podcast page on onemorecastle.com. Let's see here. 2 episodes ago, the winner was Hunter with Cyborg Justice.
Ah, the juggernaut.
Oh, yeah.
Rings it in.
Dings it in. The juggernaut wins another week in a row, beating out the Little Mermaid and Brunswick Pro Bowling. I have to say, that was a pretty weak lineup to go against. So
yeah, I guess Cyborg Justice.
Don't count too much on that victory there. But in all
I don't know. At
full disclosure, I'm only saying that because Cyborg Justice did get more votes than the other two games combined. Unlike last week, it was not even close. It was, you could say it was a cyborg slaughter. You shouldn't say that, but you could.
Yes, you could. I think I'm going to.
Okay. You go for it, Jughead. You go for it.
Jughead.
You heard me. Jug nose. Ding it up. That's right. All right, whatever. I'm ready for the showdown when Jason tried to give me 1 minute on the clock.
All right. You can go.
All right. I was actually inspired by a recent feature on onemorecastle.com. Adam wrote about this game on the Commodore 64, released in 1990, called Weird Dreams. This game is weird. I mean, it is strange. There's parts where you're letting goopy stuff collect on you so you can feed it to giant hornets. You beat things to death with an electric eel. It's possible to get stabbed to death by a toddler girl. You can get lawnmowered in this game, and we all know what we like here on the podcast. So it's a strange adventure game. It has colorful graphics, great background music, very challenging, and super weird.
All right, that's your time. Hunter, are you ready?
I guess.
All right. You can go.
Oh, what could I say about my pick for this week's Retro Showdown? Was it released on one of the greatest Sega consoles in 1996? Yes. Is it called Blood Factory in Japan? It is, and for good reason. Does it have roots with the DC Comics series? Surprisingly, yes. Of course, I'm talking about Loaded, one of the greatest top-down run-and-gun games ever released on the Sega Saturn. I won't bore you with the details and plot because I don't want to take away from the awesomeness that is Loaded. I will say that you get to pick from 6 different characters that are a combination of villains, anti-heroes, psychopaths, perverts, mutants, and flamboyant murderers. So grab your power-ups, your key cards, and let loose on everything that moves in this bloodbath of a shooter. It's Loaded.
You're loaded.
All right.
Loaded with awesomeness.
Please.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
All right, for this week's pick, I'm bringing the Japan-only release for the N64, Tetris 64. Not only does the game feature a 4-player mode, which allows you to compete against friends, but includes Giga Tetris, where the normal Tetris game is filled with oversized blocks, which break into smaller pieces, and the Bio Tetris mode, which allows the use of the Japanese-only Nintendo 64 biosensor. The more freaked out you become, the faster the game goes. That's Tetris 64 for the N64.
I gotta plug something up to me to play the game?
Only for that mode.
I'm just glad that you two are so proud of yourselves for bringing out the Japan cred in your picks. Good work, both of you. Good. That was nice work there, mentioning Japan.
Whoa, you took the reverse Jason strategy.
What does that mean?
It means he took somebody else's pick.
Yeah, you took someone else's article.
Well, that's not a reverse, Jason. That's just an altered Jason. Rise from your grave.
Dude, this game is weird.
Is that your only selling point? Is it weird?
it's not my only selling point, but it is by far the most prominent. I mean, this game is weird. You guys can say whatever you want about your games, but my game is weirder, okay? I mean, my game is straight up bizarre. There's a part where you're walking on a giant piano, and you have to walk past an overweight woman doing pirouettes in a tutu, and you just have to walk past her as she spins. Like, that's really weird, you know?
I don't understand. I will say this. I'm kind of jealous of his PJs. Those are some nice PJs.
Those are. Yeah. And no matter which way he turns, they're always perfectly aligned, horizontally and vertically.
So is the game fun?
You know, I don't have the game, but I watched a playthrough on YouTube. It looks like I would enjoy it. I'll put it that way. There's a part... The gameplay, it's not scrolling. It's a static screen. You're progressing through one screen at a time. And many of the screens present you with some kind of brain-teasing puzzle you have to figure out. But because it's so strange and take place in a dreamscape, the solution is not always obvious. It's kind of a devious game in how it makes you progress. So I it looks like fun to me, yeah.
It looks like a bad collection of mini-games.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. It's like a mini-game game.
It's like, go to this level, walk past the lady in the tutu, go to this level, fight the plant with a stick, go to that level, here's some mirrors.
Well, that room with the mirrors, you come back to it, and that's kind of like your hub of operations. You can choose four or five different places to go from there. I mean, I know the static screen aspect may make it seem disjointed, but if you watch the gameplay, it progresses pretty smoothly.
You say smoothly, but the game is criticized for having extremely long loading times.
Well, I mean, it's a Commodore 64.
Yeah,
I mean,
you have to give it some slack, Jason. Yeah. I mean,
I'm even watching it on the DOS version.
Not all of us play our
10-second delay
games on a DeLorean, you know.
You should say a DeLorean.
I did.
Why would you say that?
I was just trying to think of a techie sounding word. That's the first thing that came to mind. I'm so sorry.
So the car from the Back to the Future series.
Hey, at least my game looks better than Loaded.
Can I bring up the jumping penises that you have to hit?
Right? They totally look like penises. Yeah. That's kind of weird, right?
It's kind of inappropriate.
Well, I don't think they're supposed to be penises. I just think they look exactly like penises, you know?
No, they're dead on penises, man. Like, there's no likeness about it. It is. A jumping penis that you hit with a dead fish.
Yes. That's, yeah. Sometimes you just have to beat a giant penis.
So let's talk about Tetris 64.
Tetris 64.
So I'm still kind of freaked out by the whole bio thing.
Yeah.
Because that just creeps me out. Because
that
just
awesome?
Makes. No, it's no. Nope. Nope. I don't want to be at the hospital and play a video game. I don't want
to
do that.
You don't have to.
Right. You could do it at your own home. It's like you have a hospital in your house.
It just
hooks
onto you.
Awesome. What? I don't want anything to hook onto me when I'm playing a game.
Yeah, I'm content to control the game via a controller. I don't need the game to input something into me. Like, I want to feel like I'm the one in control.
But it plugs into the extension port on the N64 controller.
Like, that makes it better?
Yeah. Right there.
I tell you what, though, because this isn't the first time I've seen this. Like, there's a lot of... Nintendo games or just games in general that come out of Japan that have to do with your heart rate and hooking stuff up to you, and that's creepy, man.
Doesn't appeal to me.
Stuff on me.
Does not appeal to me.
But here's the thing that gets me the most. So obviously I'm on the Book of Knowledge because that's where I go.
Of course.
Yep.
So this game was released in Japan only, 1998. The whole game is in English.
Isn't that great? You can import it and play it.
No, you can't.
It's the most accessible import game around.
Well, don't you need a Japanese 64 to play it? You can't play it on an American. It's region locked, isn't it?
I believe it was region free.
That just doesn't make any sense. Why wasn't the game released in America or anywhere? If it's in English.
Wait, I can take this one.
Okay.
It suffered from the perception that Americans were tired of the Tetris franchise, and this pick from Jason is kind of hypocritical, because if there's one series that Nintendo has tried to milk from over and over by making silly sequels, it's Tetris. Because the first Tetris game, perfection. You cannot improve it. It's a perfect game. It's wonderful. Then they put out Tetris 2, which is kind of weird. It's not great. Then they had like Tetris Sphere and Wetris and just strange stuff. And Tetris 64 is just another example. Also, this part I might have to research, but Dr. Mario 64 did come out in America. And in my opinion, it's a very good game. And it looks like it released later than Tetris 64. So now I'm wondering why. But I'm guessing it's just maybe they thought, hey, America's ready for Dr. Mario 64, but not Tetris? I don't know. I'm thinking out loud here.
Are you referring to the Nintendo version of Tetris as the original?
No, I just mean the first on a Nintendo system. And then
acclaimed.
Nintendo proceeded to butcher all the sequels and make it silly. Because I know the one that came out on NES is not the first Tetris game. I get that.
All
right, I mean, give me some credit. I'm bashing Nintendo right now. So, come on.
This is interesting. Let him go, Jason.
Yeah, keep bashing all right, Nintendo.
You got it.
Next one, you make fun of their decreased hardware sales.
Now, Jason, let's keep this retro.
I'm sorry.
Typical Canadian.
So, Loaded.
It's amazing,
it's
right?
Can I say that? Can I go ahead and...
Yeah.
It's ugly?
It's a port of a PS1
game. It's not pretty, man. It's
not a port. They came out at the same time. The Saturn was the definitive
okay,
version.
Okay, there's a little saying in retro games, the pixels are as big as cats. This is one of those games that doesn't do itself any favors with how the art is rendered. It just, like, every explosion clearly looks like a one-dimensional drawing that's layered on top of everything. There's no depth. There's no warmth. It's just...
Well, no, you're in an insane asylum. You're in a prison. Why would there be warmth?
Well, you know, when you creep up behind a guy, you reach around and you slit his throat and you feel the blood pool down your wrist, it tends to be warm. And that's why some people like knife hunting and not gun hunting, all right?
No, this isn't a, no, this is not, oh, hey, Bailey, that was
okay.
good. It's not, no, this isn't a creep around cutting people's throat. This is breaking the door down, blowing the hell out of everything, and then picking up stuff as you go. You know, like, you walk out of a room with pieces of body on you that's not yours. There's no sneaking around. We don't sneak around and Loaded.
Okay, I'm just, maybe I'm struggling to put it into words, but it just doesn't look good to me. And I hear you. Like, it's not supposed to look, you know, warm and inviting. But I can actually think of Hotline Miami as a game that has a very distinctive retro appearance and is very violent, but looks really good. Loaded on Sega Saturn?
Yeah, this game's ugly.
It's just ugly.
You guys are ugly.
Well, you know what, Hunter? You just hurt my feelings. So you're the ugly person in the room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So let's figure out. So, hey, Jason.
Hey.
Guess how Weird Dreams ends?
How does it end?
It's a dream. You wake up in a hospital, and that's it. No credit roll, no nothing. You just wake up.
Isn't it so refreshing to have a game just end and not bother rolling the credits? Aren't we tired of credits rolling? Am I right, guys?
No, because I would like to say...
Say it.
The only great thing about your pick from last week, Jurassic Park, was the credits mission.
That was pretty cool. Okay, but there's a part in Weird Dreams where you can throw a soccer ball and it eats someone. Like, that's weird, right?
Is that just it? You just pick up a ball and throw it, and that's the entire stage?
That's the
entire
stage.
Well, no, it's one screen, but it's a puzzle because the girl throws it at you, and it bounces, and you throw it back, and it bounces. You have to figure out how to not get eaten by it and how to make it eat the other person. It's not as easy as
it sounds,
guys.
Well, that's yes, how you solve the puzzle. You throw it.
We have to throw it correctly.
How much acid do you have to do to make a game like this?
You would
I'm curious. Like, are we measuring in pounds at this point?
That's, yeah, they're really only, the selling feature of the game is that it's weird. Gameplay-wise, it's incredibly stale.
Oh, whoa! Whoa, it's not incredibly stale. It's perfectly credible in its staleness.
You walk by someone who's in a tutu, that's a level.
It's not a level, it's a screen. There's a difference.
Yeah, because after that is when you fight the jumping penises.
Well, okay, yeah. Okay. Let's talk about flawed levels. In Tetris 64, Giga Tetris with the giant blocks, that's a bad idea. That's like the worst thing you can do in Tetris, because the whole point of Tetris is precision placement. If they made the blocks smaller, that would be intense. Making it bigger just...
No, that's the thing, though. They break into smaller pieces.
Oh, okay, cool.
And that's the podcast.
Good work, everybody. it's just one of those things where it's... I mean, I applaud Weird Dreams for doing something new and different. You know, like, yeah, it's completely
weird.
New and different.
It's weird, man. It's totally weird.
And it'll never be done again, I'm sure. And, I mean, even Loaded. I mean, Loaded's just a top-down running gun. I mean, there's different aspects, and they've really pumped up the gore to kind of bring in that shock value, which wasn't really done yet, which is kind of neat for those who are, you know, sadistic juggernauts like myself. But Tetris is just, I mean, it's just Tetris. Like, as many times as they've revamped it.
Just Tetris?
It's just Tetris. As many times as Tetris has been revamped, like, it's, the original version is always the best.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Tetrisphere, it's a fun game. It's not as good as the original Tetris.
That's
Wetrix is just terrible.
You can play the original version of Tetris in this. But
yeah.
Cheap gimmick. What?
On my NES.
For the
I can play it on my NES and my Game Boy and my phone and my PC. Like, you can play it on everything.
You had a phone that could play Tetris back in the day?
Yeah.
Liar.
You kidding me? Did you not? You didn't have a Windows phone? Back in the day where it was like a Palm Pilot? Yeah, dude. The first game that came out was Tetris. You had to use the stylus. It was a pain in the ass.
Is that a Tetris or Nibbler?
Oh, Nibbler was the worst. You should have picked Nibbler, Jason.
Yeah, we totally would have gone for Nibbler.
Because that hasn't been redone 1,000 times.
1,000,000 times.
Tetris.
Let me ask you something, Jason. Let me ask you something.
Sure.
In Tetris 64, do you ever beat a giant eye to death with a dead fish until 3 of its brains fall out?
If you do enough acid.
We're talking pounds of acid right now. Pounds of acid.
Because in Weird Dreams, you do something very similar to that. Except the brains are like floating around in the eye. But that's besides the point.
It's right before the jumping penises.
No, it's after. It's after.
Oh, is it after?
It's after.
There's still jumping penises in that game.
There are.
To me, that's null and void.
Is that a deal breaker for you, Hunter?
I mean,
just too weird for you.
It's too much, Bailey.
You can get run over by a lawnmower.
Well, that's not good.
Lawnmowers. You guys aren't tired of lawnmowers, are you?
Man, I was tired with lawnmowers after the first episode.
Episode one. That's enough. Okay.
Why?
What, Jason?
What's the purple weapon?
The electric eel?
That's an eel.
It's either the eel or the fish or the stick.
You fight a wasp with it.
Yeah, I think it's the electric eel, I think.
Oh.
Which, you fight a few wasps, though. Which wasp? The wasp in the desert?
Do you know? You've never played this game. You watched a video.
Right, but it's a full playthrough video. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, but you don't get to experience it.
I can still answer questions about the wasp.
Seven minutes and 40 seconds long.
If you play it perfectly. Super Mario Brothers is only 5 minutes if you play it perfectly. It doesn't mean it's a bad game, Jason.
Well, technically, that's not playing it perfectly. You're cheating. You're going through warp pipes. That doesn't count.
That's perfectly within the intention of the designers. You want to talk game philosophy here, Hunter?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's not cheating. Ding.
All right. You got
me. What Loaded looks like?
An amazing piece of art.
No, it looks like a crappy version of Grand Theft Auto where it can do less.
Oh, no, you can do way more.
Oh, theoretical high five.
You steal a car?
There's no cars in Loaded.
You can do less.
Yeah, that's the point.
No, you can do more. You've got six players to pick from. How many players can you pick from in Grand Theft Auto? One, and he's lame. He doesn't even have a name.
Yeah, he does.
What's his name?
What's his name? No, he showed up in Grand Theft Auto 3 as well.
Nope, none of them have a name until Resident Evil.
Resident Evil.
Nobody has a name until Grand Theft Auto 4.
Isn't it like Frank Speed or something?
No, they don't have names.
They do have names.
They are nameless, my friend.
Did you say until Grand Theft Auto 4?
Grand Theft Auto 4.
For the record, Hunter not only insulted the Grand Theft Auto franchise, but then confused it for Resident Evil. Just want to point that out.
Yeah.
I'm cutting all of that out. It doesn't matter.
Dang it! The editor!
The juggernaut!
Wait, it's San Andreas. You're CJ.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Oh,
And Vice City.
The crappy side quest of Grand Theft Auto 3. Okay, because I'm going to play that one.
Well, it's way terrible. To go, you big liar. You have no credibility in the Retro Showdown anymore, Hunter. Way to go.
Can you do anything but shoot people in Loaded?
No, that's all you want to do, man.
Whoa.
You are a crazed psychopath with a weapon. What else are you going to do?
How can you say that in these sensitive political times when gun violence is such a sensitive topic, Hunter? How can you say that?
What are you talking about?
Despicable. Saying you want to go around shooting people. That's awful.
In a game, yeah.
Whoa, video games totally cause serial killer violence, Hunter. Sorry, I'll turn my sarcasm down.
And that's time.
Well, no, I just have one last question, Hunter, about Loaded. In Loaded, is there ever a screen where you have to choose between two doors, and one of them, if you open it, reveals a giant set of teeth that bites you in half?
No, because my game's not half retarded.
Well, neither is Weird Dreams.
That's an opinion. That is an opinion, Bailey.
Your mother's an opinion.
I have to
point out. No more mom jokes, remember?
Ah, dang it! Yeah, you got me,
dude.
There. Shoot. Dang.
Not cool, man.
Well, I'm not allowed to say anything anymore for us to show down.
Just Jason's mom.
Oh.
Hey, whoa, dude. Your mom did not make a Sub-Zero costume for Halloween, did she? No, she didn't.
That's right. His mom is exempt from mom jokes because.
That's true.
Cool Halloween costume.
I do have to say, though, original Grand Theft Auto, you could choose from 8 playable characters.
No.
4 male, 4 female. Travis, Katie, Nikki, Divine, Bubba, Troy, Keyblov, and Ulrika.
Wait, what version is this? Is this the PC version?
The original.
The PC version? Is it the
yes,
PC version?
It also came out on PlayStation.
Exactly. Which is the original version?
The PlayStation version allows you to select from 4 characters.
It doesn't.
You two are ridiculous.
Are you serious? Does it really?
I'm serious. Check the book of knowledge.
What do you think I'm doing? Check the book. You're asking me to check the book of knowledge.
Check the book of knowledge. What are you talking about?
The book of knowledge.
The book of knowledge. Remember, listeners, bookofknowledge.com. All the information you'll ever. No, actually, don't go there. Never mind.
And your character in Grand Theft Auto 2 is Claude Speed.
Claude Speed? Now that name sounds Loaded.
How do you pick from different players then? I don't remember being able to do that.
I imagine, Hunter,
you remember
using the controller. I bet that's how you
pick. Hold on. Wait a second.
Hold up.
This doesn't count, Jason.
Oh, my Lord.
You have to put the name of the character in as your character. It's a cheat code. That doesn't count.
Oh, he's got you there.
Those are secret players.
No. You may also name your character, which, with the correct name, acts like a cheat code and alters gameplay. You may, not you must.
All right, well, I'm going to edit that right now.
Well, I'm gonna give both of you a chance to actually talk about the relevant game in the showdown. As moderator, I feel the need to step in.
All right, let's talk about Loaded and how cool it is. Stuff up. There's blood everywhere. It's awesome.
It's about as cool as a lukewarm piece of dog feces. How's that?
I can't relate, man. I'm sorry.
That's probably good that you can't relate to dog feces. I'm proud of you, Hunter. That's a good place to be.
But can you?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
I smell better.
Oh. That's interesting.
And then there's Jason's game. Biosensor?
Biosensor, man.
You have to clip it on your ear.
What does it measure? What does it actually measure?
Your heartbeat.
Can you get your heartbeat through your ear?
Yeah.
Hunter. Gosh, anywhere.
Yeah, because I'm a doctor. I'm Dr. Juggernaut. Come on.
Worst villain ever.
Oh, it's Dr. Juggernaut. Everybody run. Come back here.
Said his voice.
Yeah, sure. That's my relative old person voice. That's what all old people sound like to me.
I just can't imagine my heartbeat adding anything good to a game.
Well, you've admitted to freaking out with Tetris.
This
would drive you insane.
But see, here's the disadvantage. Because, I mean, sometimes it might not even click in. Because as you progress through the game, in a traditional Tetris game, it just the pieces are random or will always start to drop faster as the game progresses. If you are just playing the game regularly with the heart rate clip on your ear,
it's basically a fake
and it's not
earring.
Speeding. Yeah, and if it's not speeding up, you know why would your heart rate go up? To speed it up. Does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense now to me.
Let's say you get the wrong piece. Your heart rate is going to go up.
Oh, okay.
Not necessarily.
Well,
not substantially. It's still going to go up, and it's still going to read that and go,
it may not.
You
can't guarantee my heart rate's going to go up just because I get a wrong piece. What if I don't? What if that's just not how it works?
But that is how it works.
It isn't, though. What if it isn't?
Who thought this was a good idea? That's what's boggling me.
Dr. Juggernaut?
Yeah. No, he might have. He's crazy. Yeah.
Looking for a way to make his foes nervous, like Rick Thursday.
Just clip this on your ear.
No!
Heart rate.
I refuse.
Oh, we're going to play Tetris. It's going to be fun.
Screw you, Dr. Juggernaut.
Oh, that's what your mother said last night.
Oh, he just dinged himself. That's classy.
The whole clipping on the ear thing, like I know it's not that big part of the game, but it is part of the game. It was packaged with the game itself. It's like, it just seems like I don't know. It's just one of those gimmick attempts. Like now the Rumble Pack with Star Fox, that was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
The clip for the heart rate though, like...
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
and why Tetris? Why wouldn't you bring it with like Resident Evil or something? That makes more sense to me.
It was first released with Tetris, with I'm assuming the idea they'd increase, you know, do more like this.
And then all the players were like, wow, this really sucks. Hey, never put this with another game ever again. Thanks.
By that time, they were on to GameCube development.
My ear hurts from having this thing on it.
And my eyes hurt from having to watch gameplay shots of Loaded because it's so ugly.
It is. The pixels are the size of mountain lions.
Okay. Are you guys watching a video on YouTube?
Rawr. Yeah.
Okay. Well, apparently
I'm watching it on my VHS tapes.
I'm going to slap you, Jason.
I'm watching it on
through
my
the internet.
Bio sensor. Ooh.
So, you can zoom out. You can zoom the camera out.
Okay. Ooh.
That's why it looks bad on a YouTube video and a VHS tape, apparently.
Hold on, let me just zoom the camera out.
Well, then zoom it out. How's it look?
Oh, so
how am I supposed to zoom it out?
What do you mean?
It's a video.
It's Z. You hit the Z button.
The biosensor doesn't have a Z button.
So, you're telling me
Hunter.
On this video I should hit the Z button?
Oh, you're watching a video.
Hunter, you don't make any sense. What is your problem? What is your major malfunction?
Are you sure you're not the character from Loaded?
Or from
which
Weird
one?
Dreams?
There's six of them.
Hold on. I'm going to choose one for you.
You know, in Weird Dreams, you get to wear pajamas throughout the whole game.
Those aren't weird pajamas. Those are just regular pajamas.
I didn't say they were weird pajamas. I just said in weird dreams you get to wear pajamas throughout the whole game.
Oh.
You can be mama.
Oh, yeah. The big baby? Awesome. Thanks. I appreciate that. Not cap in hands. No, let's not be that guy. Or Falk. Can't be Falk, no.
You can be Butch.
Butch. Butch is actually a pretty cool character. Because they all have different stats. Like, some of them move faster than other ones, and then the ones who move slower have more firepower, and you can tailor it so it's perfect for your playing style. It's awesome.
How do you get these weapons into a mental institution?
Well, here's what happens. So you are a convict who was thrown into jail falsely by one guy. I can't remember his name. I think it's like Fug or something like that.
How does one throw something falsely?
So, to clear your name, you kill everyone in the prison.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, clearly he's not insane. You know, I was wrongly accused, so my answer to the situation is kill every other human being.
And see, here's the best part, is that during some of the stages, there are actually padded rooms with guys who've got the straitjackets on. So they can't actually hit you. They just kind of run into you. Killing those guys are the best.
Whoa. Remember when I brought a game and you criticized it because people throw down their guns and beg for your life?
Oh, yeah. Yep,
and you said that was despicable?
Yep.
And yet here you are killing innocent, obviously disturbed people and
ding,
claiming
ding,
how fun it is.
Ding.
How are they innocent? They're in a prison.
They're insane.
In an insane prison. They're murderers and rapists and people who cheat on their taxes.
Yes, and the people in my game were Nazis.
And they were begging. That's just the begging part is what creeped me out the most. Because we already established that I killed him regardless. It was just them begging for help. That's what was creepy.
See, this is why Weird Dreams is so great, because the only things you kill aren't even people, you know?
Yeah, they're jumping penises.
Right?
Because that's what I want my kids to play.
You literally fight a wasp with a purple dildo.
Is that what it is?
It isn't a life. No, it's not. No.
Okay, I've played... You know the Saints Row franchise?
Yes. No, I get where you're going, but no, it's...
Grand Theft Auto, it looks exactly the same.
Okay.
You're fighting a wasp with a giant purple dildo.
Let's.
I don't know if you beep that or.
Okay.
No, you're good.
Closing arguments. Hunter, why should any listener vote for Loaded?
Because Loaded is a great, fun, top-down, run-and-gun game that really gets the blood pumping without the use of a biometric heart clip thing on your ear.
Thank you. Jason, why should any listener vote for Tetris 64?
It does you... Yeah. That was in English. Basically, you get to arrange blocks instead of fighting off jumping penises, and it's got a cool Japanese biosensor, and it's a lot prettier than whatever Hunter's game was. Loaded.
That forgettable game. And as for me, you should vote for Weird Dreams because, number one, it's super weird. Number two, all of the other reasons to vote for it, like the fact that it looks better than Loaded and it's more fun than Tetris 64. It's pretty sweet. All right, and that's our retro showdown. Remember to vote for your choice on the podcast page on the website. Shout out to the interlude artist, OneRom, and his track, The Dark Knight Chiptunes. If you like it, you can download that on the podcast page. Hunter, you have any shout outs this episode?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My blog is ericmhunter.net, and check me out on official VHGC. For my black tie event column.
Ooh.
It's about to get classy up in here.
Fancy. Jason, any shout-outs?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. And I'd like to give a shout-out to...
The Juggernaut!
The Juggernaut.
Oh, okay. All right.
Works every time.
Well, as long as we're doing the Twitter thing, if you want to follow me, I like Twitter, so go ahead and follow me at Nintendo_Legend. And I have no shout-outs tonight, except for shouting out people who like to try games just because they look a little odd. I appreciate you. And remember, listeners, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!